You know, as I was praying, well, first of all, let me say this. If you want to take out your message notes, you certainly can do that. And you're going to want to jot some things down. I put some extra lines on there for you so you can jot some additional thoughts down. But because I'm going to read some scriptures that aren't on your notes and include those. But let me just kind of tell you how this series came about. And, you know, my heart has been stirred really since we, during the time when we were doing our 21 days of fasting and prayer. My heart was stirred for you and what God is wanting to do in your life and in my life and then our lives together as a corporate church body. And I believe that I've been challenged, and I want to challenge you in this over this the term of this series, that I want you to begin to believe God for the impossible. Well, let me try this side. Maybe my mic's not working on that side. I want you to believe God and learn to trust Him and to put your confidence in Him and believe for the impossible. You know, but the thing that I was challenged in is that I believe that, you know, in some respects, I had kind of started coasting a little bit, if you know what I mean. You know, I was trusting God, believing God, and all of that. But, you know, it really wasn't about really stretching and believing God for something that I've never seen Him do before in my life. And I really believe and want you, by the time we get to the end of this series, your faith is going to be at a whole new level, and you're going to do exactly what the title says, and you're going to have some daring, outrageous, over-the-top faith, because here's why: we serve an outrageous, over-the-top God who is more than willing to do in our lives, the scripture says in Ephesians 3:20, above what we can ask, hope, think, dream, or desire, or even ask for in our lives. He wants to do more. And here's the thing. All we have to do is simply believe Him to do more, and it opens the door. So let me show you a couple of scriptures as we get into this. And again, these aren't on your notes to begin with, but I wanted to give them to you just to kind of show you where we're going. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. And so just to give you some background, the disciples were trying to minister to a man's child, and they were having difficulty and weren't able to get the results that they wanted to get. And so they brought the situation to Jesus. And Jesus replied to him. He said to them, "For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed." If I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but when you go to the grocery store next time, look in the spice aisle and then find the little jar of mustard seeds, and you will be amazed at how small a mustard seed is compared to, say, a watermelon seed. And so I believe Jesus intentionally used that as an illustration because it's a tiny, tiny little seed. And he said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, look at what he said, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to over there, and it will move. And notice what I highlighted for you, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. I said, nothing will be impossible for you. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through at the moment. I may not, but Jesus, who does know what you're going through at the moment, said nothing shall be impossible for you. Well, just in case you might need a little more convincing, look at this scripture. Jesus told, or actually the angel Gabriel told Mary when she said, you know, how's this going to be that I'm going to give birth to a son when I've never been with a man? And the angel simply replied and said to her, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Nothing will be impossible. But Pastor, I need a new job. Nothing will be impossible. Pastor, I really am overwhelmed with debt in my life. Nothing will be impossible. But Pastor, I'm believing God to get married soon. I felt something when I said that, but nothing will be impossible. I wish somebody would help me in here. Look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 27. But Jesus said again, yeah, and by the way, you know you can believe Jesus, right? He didn't, you know, Jesus didn't mess up and lie one time. Not one time. But he said this, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Now, I very strategically and purposely put these verses at the beginning because I want us to start out a series believing God and learning how to build faith and exercise our faith in God for you to begin to stretch and look at some things that might to you look impossible. But I want you to know from God's perspective, nothing is impossible. For the way you look at it, it might look like, hey, it ain't going to happen. But I'm going to tell you from God's perspective, and all he's trying to do is just get you to look at things kind of like he does and to begin to believe that, hey, with my God, nothing is impossible. So you know what? I just might believe God to do the impossible in my life. And so I want to go to a couple more scriptures that are going to be the foundation for our series. And let's look at Matthew chapter 9. This is on your notes, verses 27 through 30. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And I believe this is the question that Jesus is asking us right now. No matter what this might happen to be for you, Jesus is asking you today, do you believe that I am able to do this? And look at what the blind men said. They said, yes, Lord. And here's the theme. And he touched them and opened their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be to you. And look at what happened. And their eyes were open. Here's what I believe the Lord is saying to us and that what he's going to be saying to us over the next few weeks. And that is, listen, take the limits off of God, because really, if you can believe God, the limits are off. That it can be unto you according to your faith. I want to read this out of the Message Bible, just a couple of verses. It says this, same verses, when Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. How would you like to go home? But, you know, you come rolling in after work, just minding your own business. You get out of the car and you go in, you're on your way into the house and you turn around and all of a sudden there's two blind dudes following you in your house. And that's what happened. And these guys followed in, walked in right behind with Jesus. And Jesus turned to him and he said, do you really believe that I can do this? And they replied and said, why, yes, Master. And I love the way the Message says this. He touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. And it happened. I want to ask you, what is it that you need to happen in your life? Because what Jesus is saying to all of us, that if you will dare believe, you can become what you believe. I'm so glad I didn't write this. You know, it doesn't say the gospel according to Brad. It says this is Jesus speaking, and he turned and he told them, you can become what you believe. I'm going to say something and it might startle you a little bit. I don't mean for it to be hard, but it is kind of tough to accept. And that is this, where you are right now is a result of what you believed yesterday. And I'm wanting you to change what you believe so that your tomorrow will be different than today. So let's get into this. I want to begin and just kind of set your mind at ease, maybe tell you some things that faith is not, because what we have a tendency to do is overcomplicate faith. We have a tendency to make it so deep and so complicated that people can't grab a hold of it. And so what I want to do is just take a moment and I want to tell you what faith is not, because how many of you know sometimes you can identify what something is by telling what it is not. I remember years ago when I was went to work for the bank, one of the banks here in town, and this was 30 years ago, praise the Lord, and I'm only, 40, and it's hard to believe, but anyway. And so 30-some-odd years ago, I was training for the bank, and I was going to be a teller. And if you've ever been a bank teller, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And so they put us in this classroom, and we're there for 2 weeks, and they're training you and telling you all the procedures and all of that. But then what they do is the chief of security comes in for the whole bank and he begins to teach the class. And what he did is he passed out $20 bills to everybody in the class. And if I remember correctly, there was probably about 10 of us that were in training. And we really, they really had what looked like the teller windows at the bank in this classroom. And so you're at your teller window. And so he comes in and he passes out $20 bills to everybody. And he begins to tell us that those are counterfeit $20 bills. And he told us, I want you to begin to feel these bills. I want you to begin to see how the paper feels and begin to look at the paper and look at the ink and become so familiar with these counterfeit, because then the more we held that money, and he let us play with it for probably a couple of hours or so, and so the more we held that counterfeit money, he went back around and passed out real money to us, and it was almost incredible the difference between the counterfeit and the real. And what they were endeavoring to do is to train us so that in our day-to-day activities, if somebody passed us counterfeit money, you could pick it up in a moment and know that something was wrong with this. And so what I'm wanting to do is to kind of identify three things for you that faith is not, so you will be able to readily identify what faith is. So here we go. The first one is this. Faith is not simply wishing. If you're writing this down, take this note. Faith is not simply wishing for good things to happen in our lives. Well, you know, are you trusting God? Well, yeah, I'm sure hoping and a praying he's going to do something in my life. And see, what we have the tendency to do is to treat God like it's the lottery. Well, praise the Lord. Now, if you play the lottery, just keep your head down. Nobody's going to look at you. Nobody's going to know. Just do me a favor if you win, tithe, okay? But anyway, I'm just saying. But you know what we do is we have a tendency to do God and the Word of God like the lottery. And so what we do is we go in and we buy as many tickets as we can. And we're just over in the corner at the little table scratching as hard as we can, hoping that somehow maybe I'll hit it just right and God will come through for me this time. And what I want you to see is that if you will learn what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, I can promise you without fear of contradiction, based on the Word of God, that you can put your trust and confidence in God's Word and what God will do for you, and He will come through for you every time, not just sometimes. So faith is not just simply wishing. In other words, it's not a matter if you get lucky, you might get your prayer through to heaven. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, we're just going to get together and we're going to have us a prayer meeting and we're just going to bombard heaven. You know, I see it, and I don't mean any harm when I say this, but I see it on Facebook sometimes. You know, people will put a prayer request out there. Please pray. And, you know, there's some really big situations that need prayer. And then there's some you look at it and you go, okay, this is somebody just doing one of those chain things. But anyway, they'll put a prayer request out there. And here's what the thinking is. The more people I get praying about this situation, somebody, just because of numbers, is bound to get a prayer through to heaven, and God will hear. Maybe if I get 1 in 1,000 that hits the jackpot, that God will answer this prayer. My Bible says that where 2 or 3 are gathered together in His name, Jesus is already right there in the midst. I don't need luck on my side. I don't need just sheer numbers on my side. The Bible says that if I will just lift up a prayer in His name, He said, heaven listens to what I say. I can tell this is going to be one of them things where I'm going to have to preach a little bit, but faith is not simply wishing for good things in our lives. Here's the second thing. Faith is not simply hoping that good things will happen or that bad things will not happen. In other words, that if I do everything just right, if I pull the right levers, push the right buttons, and do what I'm supposed to do, then maybe something good will happen for me, and then maybe I can stop some bad things happening to me. And faith doesn't work that way at all. Faith is not where we just hope that, you know, I can avoid some difficulties and maybe not have something bad happen to me. And then faith is not, again, hoping or wishing that something good will happen to me. Listen, I don't waste my breath and waste my time at the end of the service when I stand up here and tell you that this is going to be the best week of your life coming up. I don't waste my time and tell you that just because I need something cute to say as you walk out the door. I tell you stuff like that because I believe it with all of my heart. And if you will dare believe it, we've already seen where Jesus said the impossible will happen for you. I just want you to learn how to believe God. And here's the third thing I want you to see, And that's this: having faith in God is not the absence of difficulties. And if anybody has ever told you that once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're born again, your life is going to become so easy and that you're never going to experience problems, never going to experience difficulties, I'm sorry I have to be the one to tell you, but that is not true. Matter of fact, it's the man, the woman, the young person, the boy, the girl that dares to find out what God's word says and dares to just believe it and take it for face value and say, you know what? I just believe that what God says he will do. And so once you have that attitude and that confidence, you become dangerous to the enemy of your soul. So I can almost promise you, again, I got to tell you the truth. I can almost promise you, you might experience a little more pressure in your life. But the good news is, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let Jesus tell you what the good news is. Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. In the Amplified Bible, it says this: Jesus, again speaking, I've told you, and listen, he's having a private meeting with his 12 disciples. They're all huddled up in the upper room, and he's talking to them. He's telling them some things, getting them ready. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Everybody say, perfect peace, and confidence. Say it again, perfect peace, and confidence. And here's where Jesus made a promise. You know, we word people, we're really not word people, we're favorite word people. You know what I mean by that? We pick the promises that we want to take, because Jesus is getting ready to give you a promise, but it might not be one that you want. He says, in the world, you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. Hallelujah, I believe, I receive. We don't do that, do we? But Jesus promised that that's going to happen. But I'm so glad for the little three-letter word that's right after frustration. Everybody say that little word after frustration with me. Here we go. Ready? But. I'm so glad that but is in there, because what that but is getting ready to do is offset everything that Jesus said. So he said, in the world you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. Here's why. For I have overcome the world. And I love the Amplified put this: I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. See, that means, yes, we are going to have trials. We are going to have distress. We are going to have frustration. We are going to have tribulation. But Jesus has already overcome all of those things, and he stripped them of their ability to be able to harm you in any way. Matter of fact, he just conquered them for you and said, here's the victory. And so you and I can face difficulties and trials and tribulations and frustrations and distress with a big old smile on our face. We don't have to freak out about it. We can just say, you know what? Jesus already whipped you. I have victory. I have confidence, and Jesus is on my side. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So that's just a few things that faith is not. So let's go on the other side. Let's begin to talk about what are some characteristics of faith. What are some things we need to understand about faith as we get into this study over the next few weeks? And here's number one: all of us that are Christians, all of us that have made Jesus the Lord of our lives, all of us start with the same potential for great faith. All of us, every one of us, not one of us is left out. All of us start with the same potential to have great faith. And you know what's interesting about this, and we won't take time to look at it today, but you'll recognize as you read through the Gospels and Jesus' ministry, there were times when he would talk to the disciples and he would chide them or rebuke them because of their small faith, their lack of faith. And then there was a Roman soldier that came to him and said, hey, Jesus, I've got somebody at my house that's sick and I need them to be healed. And he said, here's what I tell you. Just do me a favor. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Because here's what I understand. As a Roman soldier, all of us function together as a unit because of somebody's words and somebody that has authority. When they speak, everybody has to come in line and obey that. And the soldier said, the centurion told Jesus, he said, I recognize something about you. You've got that same authority. So when you speak, I just need you to say something, because I know when you say something, everything's going to come into line like it needs to be. And Jesus, the Bible says, I'm going to put it in modern day. He freaked out because he said, and he turned to his disciples. And this is a Roman talking to him. He turned to his Jewish disciples, who were people of God, who grew up hearing about God. And he said, you know what? I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Jesus knew what great faith is. And here's what I want you to see, is you have the same potential as anybody else to have great faith. I'm going to say something, okay? Billy Graham doesn't have anything on you. I love Dr. Graham. He's an awesome man of God, but he has nothing on you. The same potential that was in him is in you. Oral Roberts doesn't have anything on you. Joyce Meyer doesn't have anything on you. Whoever you want to say, they don't have anything on you. You might be the smallest little bitty part of the body of Christ, but you have the potential to have the same great faith as anybody in the body of Christ. Amen. Let me show y'all. Got me so I'm just spitting up here. I apologize to y'all if I happen to hit you with any. Okay. Look at what the Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul said, that let every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In other words, yes, I have arrived. I am super spiritual man. I am faith man. I have it together. Paul said, don't think that way. He said, but think soberly, think clearly, because according as God has dealt to every man, and I read it out of the King James on purpose, the old King James, because the old King James says it accurately. He says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Some translations say a measure of faith, but it is not a measure of faith, because what that implies is he got to measure one size, he got to measure another size, she got a whole big old measure, I got a little tiny measure, and so God wasn't fair in all of that. But God is fair. And so he gave to every one of us the measure of faith, so we all start out with the same faith potential. And it's up to us whether it becomes great or it remains little. Here's the second thing that you need to understand about faith, and that is this: faith, your faith in God must be personal. It must be personal. What do I mean by that? Well, you can't live off of grandma's faith. Now, I love grandma. I appreciate grandma. Grandma might have raised you. She might have done an awesome job. She might have told you all about Jesus. She might have sat down and read the Bible to you every night. Grandma might have tried to help you every way that you could have needed it, but I'm here to tell you, you can't live off of grandma's faith. Some point in your life, and I'm going to just be real plain, you're going to have to put your big girl, big boy pants on and learn how to trust God for yourself. So you can't live off grandma's faith. You can't live off of my faith. I'm going to tell you, and listen, don't misunderstand me. I'll believe God with you till the cows come home. You know, that's an old country saying, meaning I'll believe God with you for a really long time. So if you need help in your faith, listen, I'll agree with you, I'll pray with you, and I'll stand with you. But at some point, you're going to have to do some standing on your own and learn how to trust God for yourself, because it's not about the level of my relationship with God for you. It's about your relationship with God and where your faith is in your God. Let me quote it to you, and then I want to read it from another translation. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he started a verse that we like to quote when it comes to getting our needs met. He said in the King James, but my God. And what that means in the Greek language is my personal God, the God that I know, he shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But let's read it out of the New Living. It says this, Paul said this, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying is, I know that the God that takes care of me, he will do the same for you. All you need to do is put your confidence in him, and he'll take care of you the same way he takes care of me. And so faith in God, your faith has to be personal. You all must, if you're going to believe God for the impossible. And I want to remind you what the Spirit of God told us at the beginning of the year, that what God is going to do, I am more convinced of this right now than I am and that I was when I first said this to you, because I believe I heard from heaven. And that is, many of us, if we will dare to believe God, we're going to see God do the impossible in the first quarter of this year. Do you remember when we talked about the former rain and the latter rain? How many of you remember? Okay, five of us remember. Please go back and listen to the message, okay? Because I want you to trust and believe and put your faith in God that, yes, between now and I'm bold enough to say, I believe between now and March 31st, is there 30 days in March or 31? Okay, that's why I was just testing y'all. 31 days in March. I believe before March 31st that we're going to see some great things happen, and you're going to see some great things happen, because what God said is, he says, I'm going to cause the former rain and the latter rain to fall at the same time, and all this seed that you've been putting in the ground, the harvest is going to come up quicker than you can possibly imagine. Is there anybody that might need a little harvest to come up a little quicker than maybe it would have taken before? You just need some harvest. I am bold enough to tell you that if you will believe God, God will cause some things to happen before March 31st for you. But you've got to have faith in who your heavenly Father is for yourself. Here's the third thing. How does faith come? Do I need to pray for faith? Because I hear people say, Lord, give me faith. Thank you, Lord. And really what we're saying is, Lord, give me a feeling so I feel like I have strong faith. And that's not how it works. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says this. Many, if you've been around church any time at all, you've heard this verse. Read it with me. So then, faith comes how?
By hearing.
Faith comes how?
By hearing.
Faith comes how?
By hearing.
Okay, notice the verse doesn't stop right there. It says, faith comes how?
By hearing.
And?
Hearing.
The Word of God. So what this verse tells me, faith doesn't come by having heard. I heard that message before, Pastor. I heard you talking about faith last year. You know, I had, and this stuff doesn't bother me, but I had somebody make a comment. I can't remember how I got it, if it was an email or something like that. Somebody had visited the church, and they sent an email saying, hey, I really like the church, but I can't believe the pastor got up and ministered something that he said last year. And I said, the reason being is you didn't get it last year when I said it the first time. I didn't get it last year when I said it the first time. How many of you know faith doesn't come by having heard? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. And if you look in the Greek language in which the New Testament was originally written, the word hearing, the verb, is in the continuous sense. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You can't hear it enough. Faith comes by hearing. Well, I heard those scriptures on healing last week. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Some of us need to hear, and we need to hear, and we need to hear it again. Faith comes as we hear. Now, here's another part of that word, hear. It doesn't mean just put it on in the car and listen to your favorite preacher, like me, praise the Lord, and just listen to it while you're thinking and doing other stuff. What the word hear there means, hear it with your audible ears and understand it in your heart. Because you don't have faith for something you don't understand. So faith comes by hearing and getting it down into your heart. And that's when you have the capacity for great faith. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Faith grows as it is fed and exercised. Now, I'm going to say something. Put your rocks down before I say this, okay? Because I don't want anybody tossing stones at me. But your faith isn't going to grow until you go through some times of adversity. Hallelujah. Your faith will not grow until it goes through and you go through some times of adversity. Listen, you can tell I'm at the gym all the time, can't you? There's a lot of doubt and unbelief right here on the front row. I don't understand it. But anyway, y'all ought not be moved by what you see. I mean, no, I'm being funny, but I'm making a point here. You know, anybody that works out on a consistent basis, whether you're an athlete, whether you just want to be in good shape or whatever, you do not increase muscle without putting resistance against the muscle that you already have. And what happens is the muscle gets broken down by the exercise that you're doing. And what happens, and it's not broken down like destroyed, but it's broken down in the sense of the cellular structure begins to break down, but your body does something that's really cool. When that happens, your body immediately starts releasing proteins and chemicals into your system so that those cells and the muscle begin to build themselves back up. Because here's what the thinking is. Your muscles are thinking this. If he broke me down that one time, it might happen again. So I need to make myself a little stronger so when it happens again, I'm ready for it. And so what I'm telling you is that your faith needs to be exercised, and it will get exercised only when you're going through some type of adversity. Now, I know we don't like to talk about adversity. I don't like adversity. I don't like conflict. I don't like adversity. I don't like difficulties just like you don't. But the truth of the matter is, I'm never going to grow in my faith and my trust and confidence in God until I face some difficulty. Now, let me put a little caveat on this, a little side note, and that is this. You don't have to wait till adversity shows up to exercise your faith. Okay? Here, let me explain. I learned this years and years and years ago. When I went to Bible school, it was an adventure. I was 17 years old. I graduated from high school, and I graduated at 17 just because of my birthday. It's not because I was a genius or anything like that. But I graduated from high school, went out to Oklahoma, went to Bible school, and started Bible school right after my 18th birthday. And so I was out there. I had just enough money to get registered for school, buy my books, and a few hundred dollars left over to maybe get me started in renting, you know, a room or apartment or something like that. I had no job, no place to live, and no car. Nothing. So went out there, but I knew that I was called of God to go into that situation. And so what had to happen was I very quickly had to learn how to trust God to take care of me every single day. Now, did I have prime rib for lunch and T-bone steak and all this bougie food for dinner and just, you know, really live because I was believing God? Let me tell you how it happened. There were some days when I lived off popcorn. Come on now, some of y'all done the same thing. There were some days, some of y'all don't know what Malta meal is. It's like cream of wheat. There were some days I lived off cream of wheat. There were some days I was thankful to have a 25-cent pack of ramen noodles. Come on now. Okay? But I'm standing here alive today because I learned how to trust God and to believe God to take care of me and to sustain me. And here's why this is so important, is because now when I'm having to believe God for tens of thousands of dollars for this church every month, I can do it because I learned how to believe God for ramen noodles almost 40 years ago. And so what I want you to do is, here's where I'm going with this. Listen, even though you might not have trouble happening to you, find something to believe God for. If it's a new pair of socks, a new pair of shoes, something like that, release your faith and put it out there. Don't ever let your faith sit around unemployed. Put it to work. Faith needs to be exercised. Now, look at James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 in the Message Bible. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. When was the last time you had something happen and you were like, oh, hallelujah, I'm happy about this test. Oh, I'm so happy about this test. You know you weren't. I wasn't either. But James told us, get happy about it. Here's why. He said, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced out into the open and shows its true colors. You want to know where your faith is? Put a little pressure on it, and you'll find out where your faith is. Can I trust God in this situation? Can I believe God when it looks like the circumstances are going contrary? Can I put my faith in His Word when I can't see anything happening? Can I believe God? And here's the fifth thing. Faith is simply believing that what God said in His Word is true. Faith is simply believing that what God said in His Word is true. Now, here's what it boils down to. You and I are, at some point in our walk with Jesus, are going to have to make a decision whether you believe this book or not. This cannot be a book of fairy tales, childhood stories, things that happened thousands of years ago. No, the Scripture says of itself in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that the Word of God is alive. It may not look like it, but this book is breathing. This book, Jesus said, He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. That word spirit, what Jesus was saying is, my words are breathed into by God. In other words, the breath of God comes off of these pages. And you've got to start approaching the Word of God as, my very life depends on what this book says. This can't be something that, you know, that we put on the table or the desk or the nightstand after we get home from church on Sunday and we never pick it up again until the next Sunday. Your attitude towards this book, towards God's Word, has got to be that this thing is the very sustenance that my life lives on. Jesus said that. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what we've got to do, and man, I'm so glad for this. Thank you, Lord, that during the 21 days of fasting and prayer, God brought me back around to where I have a fresh new perspective and a fresh new hunger and drive and thirst, whatever you want to call it, for the Word of God, like I haven't had in years. You know, I went old school. I got my paper Bible back out and I didn't bring it this morning because I have four Bibles sitting on my desk, but you're going to see me. I mean, if you bump into me during the week, you're not going to have to look far and you're going to see my paper Bible with me. Not that there's anything wrong with having the Bible on your phone, nothing wrong with that at all, but there's just something about the paper. There's just something about having this book in my hand that I can look at and I can read it and I can know and I can highlight it. If you don't have a Bible that you can write and highlight in, throw the one you've got away and let us give you one that you can write in. Because this isn't meant to be a museum piece. This isn't meant to be something beautiful that we put on the coffee table. You know, all of us, at some point in our lives, you know, we had that big, white, big, thick family Bible that you weren't allowed to touch. That sat, and a lot of us probably still had the plastic cover on it. Just like we had the plastic cover on the furniture. You could sit on that furniture when company's here, but I bet not find nothing on that sofa. And you know, when it was hot, you'd get up and you'd have shorts on and your legs would stick to, you know what I'm talking about. See, the Bible was never meant to be treated and put vinyl on it. And it was meant for us to live off of it, to feed off of it, to hunger and desire it like never before. And my prayer for you is that God's word would become something in your life and in your heart that you can't live without. And you've got to come to the place where you just believe that it's true. Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith in God believes that even though I may not be able to see it, I still believe that it's mine. Look at the Living Bible, of the same verse says this, what is faith? It's the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we can't see it up ahead. Now see, we confuse the word hope, because in the English language, the word hope means I'm a wishing. Is grandma coming over today? I sure hope so. And see, what we're really saying is I wish she would come. But hope, if you look it up in the dictionary, hope means this, expectation. Is grandma coming over today? Yeah, man, she called me the other day and told me she was coming over. I believe, I can't see her yet, but I believe, I expect her to show up. She said she was going to get here for dinner time about 2 o'clock, and she's going to be here. I know she's going to be here. It's not a matter of me wishing that she would show up. I know she's going to show up. See, there's a little bit of a difference to have an expectation of God's word. And so faith in God is the assurance of the things that we expect from God. When God dares to say that himself took your infirmities, bore your sicknesses, and carried your diseases, and with his stripes we are healed, faith says not, I'm going to have my healing someday. Faith says, I am healed right now because Jesus said, I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. Well, you sure don't look any different. I'm not moved by what I see in this natural body. I'm moved by what God's word says because God's word is true. I'm helping somebody, I hope. See, I might not have all the money that I need to pay that bill. But see, God and I have a relationship. And I'm like Paul. See, my God, my personal God, shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I may not be able to see it in my checking account yet. But see, I believe that it's already mine, even though I can't see it. My loved one might be living like hell, but it doesn't matter. Jesus told me in Acts chapter 16, he said that my household would receive Christ, they shall be saved. So we just got to make up our mind. We're going to believe the book or we're not. And I think we're at a critical junction and where we are in time, that it's time for God's people to make their minds up to believe God. Amen. And we're going to trust his word like never before. Amen. Let me show you a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to wind this up. Mark 11:24. Jesus said this, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you... Come on, say it with me. Now, I'm not an English major. I didn't do too hot in English. Sometimes, you know, just depending on what it was. But if I remember correctly, have is not future tense. Have is not past tense. Have is what? Present tense. In other words, I believe that I have it when I pray for it, not when it shows up. So what does that mean, Pastor? Well, that means when you pray and you ask God for something, it doesn't become, you know, you don't keep going back to God. I heard one minister say, you know, that's just flat out rude to keep going back to God and asking for it over and over and over again. No, what you do is you ask for it once, and then every time after that, you're just going, Father, I thank you. I may not be able to see it yet, but Father, I thank you that what I've asked for is mine. I have it now. It's already in my possession. Lord, I thank you for it. See, that's what praise is already. It already receives it. And here's what you need to understand. When we understand the power of that kind of praise, the devil doesn't know what to do with that because he's trying to look at it saying, You don't have what you asked for, but yes, I do have what I asked for. And because I'm thanking God, and I'm going to show you in this series, the more you praise God for what you don't see in the natural, but you possess in the spirit, you cause it to come out of the spirit and be manifested in your life. But that's free. That won't cost you anything. We'll get to that later. Jesus said to them, "For assuredly I say to you that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and I want to tell you again, nothing will be impossible for you." Jesus touched their eyes, and he said, "Become what you have believed." And it happened. By the time this year is over, I want us to, I don't know how we'll do it. Maybe you can share your stories or whatever, but I believe there's going to be some people in Spring Hill Church. They're going to be like this, that Jesus is going to do something in your life, and you're going to become what you believe, and you're going to be able to say those two last words. Pastor, it happened. Is there anybody in this room that's bold enough to believe that you're going to be that person? Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word that we've heard today. Father, I believe that every single person under the sound of my voice, I believe, Father, that you've stirred something in our hearts. Father, I pray that the word would become alive on the inside of us, and that, Father, we would dare to stretch our faith almost to the point of uncomfortable, to believe you, to dare to believe you for the impossible. Lord, I don't know what needs might be present in this room. I don't know what situations people might be facing. And Lord, all of us don't know what tomorrow may hold, but Father, we know that your word is true and that we can put our confidence in you and we can know and be happy because you have already overcome every situation that we might face. And Lord, I thank you that at some point in the next few months, we're going to be like those two blind men, that Father, what we believe, we became. And we're going to be able to boldly stand up and say, it, whatever it is, it happened. And Father, I thank you for it. Father, I believe that there might be some people under the sound of my voice that they need loved ones to come into your kingdom. Father, we believe for that right now in Jesus' name. We ask you to send laborers to cross their path, Father. Satan, we command you to take your hands off of those loved ones' lives, off their hearts and off their minds in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for sending people, laborers across their path to minister the word of God to them, to minister the love of Jesus to them. And Father, we see them coming into the kingdom and we thank you for it. Father, I thank you for those that need healing in their bodies right now. Father, I thank you that in Jesus' name, we release healing into their bodies. And Father, we thank you that Jesus took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses and diseases, and by his stripes we were healed. And Father, I just believe in Jesus' name that at the hearing of your word, Father, that the healing power of God is going into every physical body to effect a healing and to bring about a cure and to drive out sickness and disease. I thank you for it. Father, I thank you that poverty and lack is broken off of your people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that we are blessed, that we are favored by you. And Lord, we receive it today and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to very quickly just ask you a couple of questions. Maybe you're here today under the sound of my voice and you've heard us talk about having a personal relationship with God and having trust in God, but you know, you're kind of at a point where you maybe say, I don't know where my relationship with God, or even if I have a relationship with God. I want you to understand something today. The good news is you can have a great relationship with God that he loves you, he cares for you. Matter of fact, he's already sent Jesus to the cross to die for us, to pay for our sins, and to provide forgiveness and grace and mercy. It's already yours. All we have to do is simply receive that free gift. You might be here today and you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I've done that. Well, you can do that today. I can't think of a better day to do that than February the 11th, 2018. And let today be a day of new beginnings for you. You might be here under the sound of my voice and you've given your heart to Christ at some point, but you know your heart's grown cold towards him and you're not living for him like you necessarily should be. And I want you to know God's not mad at you either. He loves you and he's drawing you right now by his Holy Spirit. And he wants you more than you want to come back. He wants you back so much. And the Bible says that all we have to do is turn our hearts back towards him. Jesus taught us that when we do that, the Father runs towards us. He receives us, embraces us, takes us just like we are, applies his love and his mercy and his grace, wipes out the past, and gives us a brand new start. If that's you today on either one of those situations, I would love the privilege of being able to pray with you today. I need to know that you need prayer, though, and I'm not going to ask you to come down front or embarrass you in any way. But if you need prayer, if you need to give your heart to Christ for the first time, or you need to recommit your life to the Lord, take a simple step of faith. Just raise your hand right where you are. And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, let's pray this prayer out loud. Say it after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. I believe you died for me. And I believe you were raised from the dead. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, let's celebrate for a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.